When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
I am a Kraken from the sea!
How may a mortal man face and defeat the Kraken?
We're on a mission from God.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Let no joyful voice be heard. Let no man look up at the sky with hope. And let this day be cursed by we who ready to wait. The Kraken!
Should I have released the Kraken? I'm totally having second thoughts right now. You're right, I'm being paranoid. You know what? Bring the Kraken back. I'm sorry, I'm freaking out.
Bitch, I'm back.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Glad to see me. I guess we're in the next flight.
The boys are back in town.
Hi, we're the Beach Boys. And we'd like to thank all the guys at sonofcheese.com for being so cool.
Welcome to the Big Show.
Release the Kraken.
It is once again time for the horrifying auditory spectacle that is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Awesome casting semi-live from Studio D Chevalier in the very distant shadow of Pikes Peak. All your favorite dumbasses have once again gathered for your listening displeasure. And now without further ado, here's the host of the show from sonofcheese.com. It's Derek Knight with the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Welcome back to yet another awesome cast. My name is Derek Knight of Action Bear Improv, and technically of sonofcheese.com, since that's where this will be posted. With me, as always, Colin Burton.
Hello, everybody.
Fizzlingpop.blogspot.com, if you'd still like to get an insight into his head meats. My sister, Heather.
Hello.
Works Fargo's.
Yes, I do. Come see me, buy pizza.
By the way, I believe MattedSpam at MattedSpam.blogspot.com still there.
I think it is, yes.
Yeah, so if you want to see what she's all about, go check out her blog. And Jessica Schlager.
Oh, hi.
Jessica Robot Narwhal of Action Bear Improv.
That's me.
As we left last week's show, or the last show that I posted... However, I decide to post these, whether we go two in a week, three in a week, it doesn't matter. This could all just get posted at once. We were talking about what happens when we die. And I believe our consensus was, we don't know, because none of us have died yet.
That we know of,
so
that we remember.
So that would be the thinking person's approach to this, right? To say, I don't know. But I've always...
Or I know and I'm not telling you.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you would do. That is classic you.
Dick.
Total dick move. Way to go, Colin, for being a dick all the time.
Yeah, just you wait.
I would like there to be some semblance of reincarnation. I've always thought that since I was a very small child, and that's based on some experiences that I personally had. Also, it's hard for me to dismiss all things supernatural because of some experience that I've had personal. Experiences that I have had, things that I have seen. And I know that there's a lot of people that just categorically deny all of that exists. They consider themselves to be super intelligent, they're atheists, and so therefore nothing supernatural can possibly exist. It could all be explained away very easily. And I would love to be that sure of things, but I'm not. And this is all based on things that I've seen, things that have happened to me that... I would defy anyone to explain away. How about you, Jess?
Oh, sure. Go to me next.
Well, you had a shit-eating grin on your face. So I figured you was ready to talk.
I was sitting there thinking, like, are you defying us to explain away?
Yeah, do it.
I struggle because I have dabbled in a lot of things, and I really want to be an atheist. Like, I have a very logical brain. I have a very science brain. And I do think that most of what we experience as feelings can be justified in various, you know, communication, chemicals and hormones and things that maybe we don't quite have a scientific grip on yet, that we just don't have the explanation for.
Absolutely. I did read an article last year about how vibrations can affect the sensation of fear. And it made a lot of sense. And since then, I have refused to be afraid. But that hasn't stopped weird things from happening.
And I believe I sent you the article about the guy who invented the quote-unquote God helmet. As a psychologist. And
maybe, but I was probably too busy to read it because most of the time I just skim.
So I'll sum this up. It's a scientist, and he has developed an experience. It's a combination of electrical stimulation and sensory deprivation or specific sensory exposure via various mechanical means, where he can cause people to feel different feelings. He can most notably recreate
feel all the feels.
Well, yeah, he's most noted for creating that, you know, when you walk into a church or a holy space and there's a community of people, and people generally describe feeling like a sense of reverence.
I feel like I gotta get the fuck out of there because people freak me. I'm not kidding. Fellowship is the last thing I need to move on.
It's not fellowship, but it's this sense of reverence. It's this sense of connection with something other than what you are. And he's actually been able to scientifically reproduce this feeling in people. Like, he can put most people, he'll put you in the helmet, and if he goes through a specific set of steps at specific levels, you will experience this feeling of, there is something in the room with me that is not me. There is some other being in the room with me. Whether they call it a connection with God, whether they call it a ghost, it is based on their own personal interpretation of the experience, but that feeling, he's scientifically been able to recreate the steps to get there.
That is super interesting.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find the article and pull it so you can post it.
That'd be awesome. Now, Heather.
Yes.
I know that you've had some very strange experiences.
I have.
Much like I have. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go through a couple? Just top of mind. What's top of mind? What's the last weird thing that's happened to you?
The last weird thing that happened to me was I was at work, and I was at the section of the counter where we hand out pizzas, and you're gonna laugh, but something grabbed my ass.
Something. Grab a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
No, I don't know.
But something did, and so I figured it was my friend Rhonda, because this is what she does.
Right, yeah.
She walks behind me, and she literally will just, she'll run her hand over my butt or whatever. So I just figured it was her, so I turned around. There was nothing there. I mean, there was nobody around me. And the closest girl was like two registers away, and she's like, what are you looking at? And I'm like, something grabbed me.
Did she have a selfie stick?
No, there were no sticks.
Did you file an HR complaint against the ghost?
I did not, because we think it might be the owner that died.
That Landon?
Yes, he was very inappropriate.
I was going to say he's a butt girls. Man, huh?
Apparently, he was, yeah. This is what I've heard. I've heard things about him.
So, before we get too deep into the meat of this podcast, I'm currently enjoying a Vucaray, which is the cocktail of the week, a couple of weeks ago. And I made it with a rye called Few Rye. I got this from Flaviar, which is in Ljubljana, Slovenia. It's a foreign site, but they ship directly to Colorado. So I was able, sometimes they post bottles that I can't get here in Colorado Springs, which is rare because the liquor store that is my go-to liquor store has almost everything. And if they don't have it, they can get it. But every now and then, this Flaviar site posts things for sale, and it's always a limited time deal. But they post things that I am interested in, can't get here, and are a reasonable price. And I had some credits from a past order, and then I also won some contest for free shipping for life. Just awesome. Nice. So I picked up Few Rye, and I'm a big fan of rye. Sazerac rye being my favorite, but the Few turns out's pretty good. I made a Sazerac with it last night. And it held up very well, made the Vucaray with this. Jess is enjoying it neat, and she can probably give you a much better description of its character.
Let me take a sip.
It's happening live.
It's delicious. I'm drinking it neat. It's definitely like most reds. It's got a little bit of a burn to it, but it's got It's not super clean, but it's not really dirty. It's very quaffable in its natural state. It's got a little bit of a spiciness to it.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of that.
It's not quite as complex as the Willet, but it's definitely not as burny as like a Rittenhouse or a Bullet.
Yeah, it has a really, maybe just like a very mild toffee note to it, but you get a really strong sense of the oak and woodiness, but it's not quite charred, but sort of caramelized taste.
I'd like to point out that Colin started with a shit-eating grin, kind of like smirking like, oh, you snobs. And then as you went on, he was just like, wow, okay. I'm being
No. I was trying to run things through my mind. The whole, it's not really clean, but it's not totally dirty. Just made my brain go in different
ways. It's the story of my life, okay?
The not really clean, not really dirty, the Jess Robot Narwhal story. I like my whiskeys a little dirty. That's why I like...
I like my whiskey like I like my
women a little dirty. And what I mean by that is a little rough around the edges.
Oh, no, I get what it means.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's why I do not drink Crown Royal. I refuse to drink Crown Royal because it's nothing if not smooth. Ray gave me a Yamazaki single malt, which was so clean. It was like drinking water to me. That's how rough I need my whiskeys. When I go to quiz, I get a pint of Old Forester. And that's right about the level of dirty I need my whiskey to be.
So yeah, what came to my mind is it's not quite homeless. It's not quite a nun. It's somewhere in between.
it's not quite
it's
the
like
guy
It's
like
a
that,
hipster douchebag college student.
There you go.
It's not quite the mystery tramp that Bob Dylan was talking about in that one song.
It's like maybe he hasn't showered in 2 days, but he at least has washed himself off and put on some Axe body spray, you know.
Axe body spray.
I can't talk right now.
Where were we?
We were talking about death.
We were. Well, death. Reincarnation and what happens after we die and weird shit that happens. And you know, one of the things we're going to do to enhance this episode is we are going to play some of our favorite death-related songs. And we've all picked at least one, and I'm going to start. And this isn't my favorite death song of all time, but it's one that I often forget about. And it's kind of a cute little song. Even though the subject matter is rather depressing, it's the Bare Naked Ladies. Tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel.
Driving home to be with you, the highways divide, the city's in view. As usual, I'm almost on time. You're the last thing that's on my mind. I wish I could tell the way that I feel, but tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel. No commotion, no screaming brakes. Most of it's over before I awake. From the ceiling, my coffee cup trips, while out my window, the horizon dust flips. The worst part was hitting the ground, not the feeling so much as the sound. Can't help but wonder if all this is real. Cause tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel. Rubberneck traffic and passers-by, slow motion Walter, the fire engine guy. Jaws of life, they tried and they tried. Nobody here can know how I feel. Cause tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel. I guess it's over now. Cause I've never seen so much, never seen so much, never seen so much, never seen so much. I guess it's over. Never seen so much love. In all the confusion, there's something posthumous part of the scene. Now I'm floating above, looking in as the radio blares and wheels spin. I can see my face slumped with a grin, and you're the last thing on my mind. You're the last thing on my mind.
What I meant was that you actually had to be the one to talk out of it.
Well, I was going to, but you talked first.
Wasn't it? You're so, yes, it was a Mexican standoff.
You're so afraid of dead space.
Well, we're not supposed to have dead air. You know that as well as I do. Three of us have worked on radio stations in our lives.
And I've listened to one.
Right? At least one.
No, that was the Pogues, and that was my death song, at least the first one I pulled. There's so many.
And now you and you don't think it's a traditional death song, but you interpret it as such?
You know, I don't know if it is or not, but the first time I heard it, I was just overwhelmed with this feeling of sadness, and
yeah,
that is...
You were kind of a brooding, moody, gothy child, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Very much so. I still am. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but I assume that that may play into the whole feeling of melancholy.
It does.
Reveling in the melancholy, as it were.
I tend to like music that is either somewhat melancholy and in minor key or is very pop heavy, but has incredibly dour lyrics when you actually listen to it.
Is it like Dan Andriano? What was that one?
Yeah, Dan Andriano in the emergency room. Yeah. Love him. He's
that's great stuff. It's good stuff.
One of the... never mind. Go on.
No, fine. No, you keep. You finish your thought.
She wants to take a drink.
I am just going to go down the tangent of various bands and things.
Which we can eventually... now, kids, if you pine for the good old days of turntable.fm, which was alive for maybe 6 months-ish, 6 to 8 months, and that whole collaborative DJ thing that happened with that, we're going to do a show in the future where each and every one of us has a music collection at our fingertips, and we will continually collaboratively DJ. That's going to be a good show, but that's not this show. What we were talking about before we went into the music, cocktails, and my sister Heather is actually enjoying the cocktail of the week, which is the Amaretto Sour, the recipe for which I will post, and it's not just sour mix, you heathens. There's actual mixing that has to go on with this cocktail, so I will post that recipe with this podcast. But we were also talking about what happens when we die. Daddy, what happens when we die? What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, of course you don't know, but what do you want to happen? Nobody wants just to blink out. Just blinking out is a cop-out. It's bullshit. We don't want to just cease to be.
I noticed that you had the Ghost Radar app up earlier.
I did.
You do. You love that thing.
Well, I do. And it's, I know it's an app. I know this. But.
And you know this, man.
Colin told me once that if ghosts can affect randomness, that that's a random app. So if they're around, they can affect it.
I said that.
You did. Yeah, I know. Aren't you impressed?
Were you not being sarcastic?
No.
No, he was totally serious. So, because I was saying, I know it's an app, but I really think this is what is being said. But, I mean, before Dad would call
me. I've used it. And I've had some very odd coincidences happen with it. Yes. In fact, Jessica and I were at the Citadel Mall. It was the first time she was ever at the Citadel. When I was a very small child, do you remember, Heather?
Yes.
The fountain that was outside of JCPenney on the lower level?
Yes.
When I was a small child, I had a very vivid dream that I was standing in front of that fountain looking away from JCPenney, and I felt someone tap me on my shoulder. When I turned around, it was a desiccated corpse, and I've always assumed that someone was buried under that fountain. Well, that fountain has since been taken out and bricked over, but there's still that area that you can tell the fountain was there. And we walked by it, and I told her about my dream, but I have taken that ghost app and stood in the area where that fountain was, and I got some very, very strange things that popped up. Of course, is it coincidence? Of course it is, because it's a random app, but please go on with what you've had happen.
Well, the biggest one, right before Dad died, he was constantly on me about getting in shape, and I needed to exercise and eat right and lose weight because my ankle and my heel were bothering me so much it was hard to walk. And so just maybe 4 days, 3 days after he passed away, I was over here, and the first two words, I turned it on, and the first two words that popped up were, exercise, girl.
Well, that is exactly what he would say.
Yes, exactly. And then the next day I had come back and I was helping Mom clean out the front closet, and all his golf clubs were in there. And I propped the phone on and or up on the shelf and turned the Ghost Radar app on, and the word iron popped up. I was like, don't worry, I'll be careful. Just weird little things that coincided with what we were doing.
Right, yeah.
Makes me think, because like one time I turned it on and nothing was coming up, and I'm like, yeah, busy talking to somebody? What's going on? You need to say hi or something. And the word private popped up. And I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe he's, you know, having a conversation.
Having a private conversation with Jesus.
Yeah, right. No. But then the word sergeant popped up. And I'm like, oh, maybe he's talking to his dad about the army days. And then the word Charlie popped up.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, whoa, well, he's talking Charlie to his dad.
He is my grandfather.
So just, yeah, just weird things like that have happened. And so I honestly think that, well, and when our cousin Mark was killed in that car accident.
Yeah.
Before they found him, it was the day they found him, actually. Mm-hmm. I was at work talking to one of the girls about the accident and how, well, about how Mark was missing and everybody was looking for him. And we turned on the Ghost Rider app and we asked it, where is he? And the word automobile popped up.
Yeah.
And before that was before we knew that he had been in a crash.
Yeah.
So it that I always think about that, how oddly specific that was. And it turned out to be true.
Yeah. Well, you know Jennifer Reed Blanco.
Yes.
We used to work with her at the radio station. She's very involved in this Pikes Peak Ghost Hunters thing.
Yes.
And she has gone so far as to investigate some of the things that I pulled up on my Ghost Radar when I worked at Vladimir Jones, which is in a building downtown. And one time I pulled up a name, Bronwyn. Now, Bronwyn's not a common name. And so you want to talk about specific. Apparently, there was a Bronwyn who owned a bread shop on that block.
Weird.
Around the turn of the century.
That's awesome.
Right? So I don't know how this app does what it does. It may be the best magic trick of all time.
I don't know. I kind of
by utilizing geopositioning and then doing random Google searches and finding just all of really this fast, bullshit yeah. And then I mean it's possible. Everything's possible. But I guess you know if you want to talk about what's possible, what the fuck? We don't know. That's the whole point of this podcast. We don't fucking know.
There's a lot of people that put a lot of stock in horoscope subscriptions too, though.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of. There's a lot of ways that you can immediately attach meaning to words.
Because we're a pattern seeking.
Exactly.
Well, sure, we all want meaning. We want to find meaning because that gives us solace, and we love to seek solace.
We don't want.
Not just solace, but it also gives us a control on our environment. It's a way that we keep from getting eaten by the predators, being able to recognize
well,
patterns.
Wait, are there predators out there?
You know what
that'll
I mean.
That'll eat us?
Yes.
Lions sharks.
And tigers and bears.
I'm never going outside again, you guys.
Sharks.
And sharks.
Sharks.
So, since we
sharks
were...
Sharks riding bears.
What?
Sharks riding bears.
Man, I'll tell you what. All right, now, riding in a sexual sense or like a yeehaw sense?
Yeehaw sense.
I guess that would be both.
Yes.
Colin.
Yes.
You have picked a death song, haven't ye?
Of a sorts.
Awesome. Well, it's your turn to DJ for us, so why don't you fire that MF-er up and tell us what you picked as well.
Okay, this is the Aquabats. From the album The Aquabats versus The Floating Eye of Death. See, it has death in the name of the album, so you know it's got to be about
good.
Death. And it's called Hello, Goodnight.
This is to be Just think of what we left behind. Will they say good of you to last, or lose the memory of you fast? Forever and ever, a wonderful thing. Will someone be grateful for what we tried to bring? But just remember then, this day will never come again. Everybody wants to live. Some people wait. Good night. Hello, good night. Hello, good night. Good night. Good night. Hello, good night. Good night.
It's the Aquabats. Hello, good night. And that's a death song?
In my opinion, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, you don't feel it is?
No, I'm not saying either way. I mean, Jessica decided, you know, she picked one that she felt was a death song. You picked one you felt was a death song, so I'm interested to hear your logic.
My logic?
Rationalization.
The wondering about if people will think well of us once we're gone or lose the memory of us fast, that type of thing.
Yeah. That's fair.
It's contemplative of death.
Yeah. How do you feel about the idea of reincarnation, Colin?
I think it's possibly the most likely. I do not believe in a heavenly host, an angelic choir, playing the harp for eternity, that type of crap. That's not my bag.
Well, yeah, what if you suck at musical instruments? That would be hell.
Yeah.
You're like, I gotta rehearse. God, I'm so bad at this.
One person's heaven.
But it's another Python's purgatory. Whoa, hey, everybody. Stuck in the middle with Jules. Steal his wheel forever.
It's better than Jimmy Buffett.
Now we're getting into some really serious accusations.
Bob Dylan.
Oh, no. Bob Dylan.
Anyway, so I feel like we're here to gather experiences, to learn, and then we take what we learn with us into the next life. We won't necessarily have our memories, but we might have occasional glimpses.
Yeah.
But we have that to build upon in our next life.
So do you think that once you've reached a certain stage of enlightenment, once you've learned enough lessons, you get to quit?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a wheel. It's ever turning.
Let me see. So you don't feel...
So you fall more Druid than Buddhist.
Because I feel like I'm close to the end.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't think you are. You don't look it.
I mean,
you don't have the tired eyes. Oh, you think so?
I know I do. I've got very bright eyes, very lively eyes. Look at me, boys. I'm lively.
You think you've learned, you've experienced all there is to experience?
Well, not everything, but I'm getting close to the end. And that could be like 1,000 years close.
But that's what I'm saying is I don't think there's an end. There's just a maybe...
You don't feel like you get, like, spiritual cosmic retirement?
No.
Remember Joan used to work with at the Gazette?
Yes, I know she wanted to
travel. Her retirement plan was to die so she could travel without paying for it.
Yeah, I don't think that's an option.
And she was serious.
Wow.
Yeah. But...
I like Joan.
Yeah. I just feel like... Maybe there's alternate worlds that you eventually... move on to that are entirely unlike this one, and you just learn a whole new set of skills. Because I don't think we'd want to end.
I'm not talking about just blinking out.
No.
I'm talking about not having to live anymore.
Mm.
Not having that burden. Not having a corporal form.
No. I don't know. That doesn't feel right to me. But
being a pure energy, a luminous being of pure energy.
Yeah, I get it. I think that gets boring.
Not just 3 pounds of electrified fat inside of a bone casing.
I could go anywhere and do anything. Man, this is boring. Fuck
no,
this.
Seriously.
I would love to have the tribulations
in a video game,
and pain of life.
In a video game, when you have the God mode, that is when the game gets fucking boring. When you can do anything you want, you get tired of it.
But you are a luminous being of pure energy, and you
boring.
Have enlightenment, and you get to pass on enlightenment.
Boring.
I want to come back as a damn turtle before I'm a luminous being.
I'm not necessarily saying different animals. I don't know if I agree with that either. But
reincarnated as a refrigerator. Heather, you picked a song, perhaps.
Yes, I have.
All right, why don't we jump to that since we're getting into some really weird, weird territory.
Okay. This is Jen Titus's cover of Ralph Stanley's Oh Death.
Ooh.
It's from season 5 of Supernatural. It was how they introduced the character of Death. And it's one of the most amazing character introductions ever, but her version is very cool. So here's Jen Titus and Oh Death.
Won't you spare me over another? But what is this that I can't see with eyes cold hands taking hold of me? When God is gone and the devil takes hold.
Playing this to point out that some years and years ago, I remixed Oh Death into that.
Oh, nice.
I took the raw vocal track and remixed it into that, and I used a combination of anvil strikes and shovel hits, as if you were digging a grave, to create the beat, and I thought it was not dissimilar. in this version, but that version was powerful. That version was haunting. That version gives me chills. Made me almost cry. Yeah. That is how powerful that version of that song was. And it's a very powerful song. But to have it done that well, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And,
as soon as I heard it, when we first watched that episode, I was like, I was immediately online trying to find her version.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. I want that now. I want that for all. I want that forever.
Okay.
Because that's great. Yay. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, music can move you. Music can move you to feel very different emotions. We felt that very distinctly when we saw Puddle's Pity Party, the giant clown. His version of Hallelujah is intense. And to see it done live, it brought us both to tears.
Yeah, I was
literally
crying.
We were both watching a 7-foot clown sing a song crying. We were crying. Yeah. It was amazing.
Well, but, now I need to hear it.
His version of Hallelujah, you've never heard it?
No.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
I play it every now and then at quiz. I mean, it doesn't really hold a candle to the fact that, you know, the live version, but it's still pretty good. Yeah. So where have we landed on this whole life after death thing, Jess?
You know, I'm not discounting supernatural experiences because I've had them. I've had those moments that have given me the heebie-jeebies, but I just, it's my personality. I'm constantly going to be poking holes and trying to find some sort of explanation that debunks it. It's just, it's my nature. Like, it's, I think that regardless of what you believe happens after this life, that if you are not living your current life to the fullest potential and that you are obsessed with death and you're obsessed with focusing on what's going to happen after you die, that you're missing out on living life. So live your life to the fullest, regardless of what you think is going to happen. That's where I fall.
That's fair. Colin?
You already talked to me about this.
He's coming back.
You mean, have I changed my mind?
In the last hour.
No, not really. I mean, we still haven't solved it, so.
Well, we're never going to solve anything.
Nor do we hope to anytime soon.
I mean, if we do solve something on this podcast, what the... You know, fuck everybody else in this world because you're not trying hard enough. I'm serious.
I don't know. We could luck into something. That's how they made sticky notes.
3M made sticky notes by fucking around?
I believe so.
They put 4 people in a room and fucked around for a long time?
Yeah, sure.
Heather, what do you think?
I honestly think, I believe in everything, I think. I do believe in reincarnation, but I also believe that everybody gets their own heaven. That's what I think. You know, so like dad's up there playing golf and cooking and grandma's cheating at everything she plays at.
That's the Odell heaven.
Yes, yes.
You got a blind opponent,
cheat to
you can
win.
Cheat.
Yes.
Cheat to win.
Yeah.
I think the last time I prayed was I was just praying to God that whatever was in me should get out because I was barfing and I hate to barf.
Oh, God.
I just drank too much. You know, it happens. That's usually the only time you'll find me praying.
So recently, then.
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord. David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major leap. The baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
For those of you who don't know about Puddle's Pity Party, he definitely puts the art in performance art. And having seen him live, was a truly amazing experience. And Jess can speak to this because we both saw him together in a very small space, a beautiful, beautiful small space in Denver called Landy's Clock Tower Cabaret.
There is no video or recording that does justice to seeing this man perform live. Yeah. He's incredible.
He's like 6'11", and he does the full clown thing. He never speaks until he sings. He only sings. He never speaks.
He never breaks character. He does a lot of wild gesticulations and pointing. And he manages to captivate and control an entire room of people and get them to do what he wants for his show without ever saying a word.
And the biggest, you know, thing to me is that he has a base of immense talent. All right, this is a guy who is an amazing performer. There's absolutely no lack of talent in his performance.
And the way he can take a song and reinterpret it through his emotional projection to get you from one place to the next place that he's going to go is a very interesting journey.
Yeah. I guess to sum up, if you have an opportunity to see Puddle's Pity Party, take it.
And I love that we have been talking about death songs and yet we somehow rounded to a sex song.
Well, just because it was written about sex doesn't mean it has to be about sex.
Doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to
just
be.
Just going to let that one
you
stay.
You could use a dildo as a bludgeoning instrument. You don't have to use it as it's intended.
That's right. You could take a dildo and turn it into a murder weapon, you guys. I want you to know that.
Uncle Colin's learning.
The house of death and the house of sex and regeneration are the same house. It's true.
Is that one of the houses in Game of Thrones? What's their sigil?
It's an astrology reference. It's a dildo. It should be. I think it's Daenerys Targaryen, but we're just going to let that one sit.
So before we get out of here, we've been going on for so long, we might as well turn this into an hour-long episode because, you know, what the fuck?
I've got another song queued up.
I've got a couple of missed connections that I can read, which are my favorite thing in the world. If you don't know about missed connections, it probably means you're not living in the real world because Craigslist has had missed connections forever.
Since Craigslist.
And people post on this all the time, and they always post almost the exact same thing. Long shot that you'll see this. Well, then don't post it. I mean, don't be such a pussy ass that you have to wait to post something on the internet later.
And yet, it's inherently entertaining because they are such, quote, pussy asses. Unquote. We would not have this well of entertainment if people weren't afraid to talk to other human beings in social settings.
That's absolutely true. And I am going to do a dramatic reading of two of these that I have found just randomly. Starting with this one.
Sexy, bald man. Woman from Man in Colorado Springs. You are bald and sexy. Late 40s. Your name starts with a P. I fantasize about riding you and rubbing your bald head. I have big, beautiful breasts that I see you stare at. I want you to suck them and lick me all over. I'm attracted to you on too many levels, and fate is working in weird ways. Follow the signs. They can't be there for no reason. Reply with your first name and the subject. Do not contact me with unsolicited services or offers.
At first I thought you were talking about Colin, and then the name was wrong.
This guy's name is probably...
Pen Sketch? Pen Sketch.
Oh my god!
It's about Colin. This one's about Colin.
Were you looking at somebody else's boobs?
I always look at boobs.
I know, I'm just joking.
Wait, did you write that?
Nope.
That's funny.
Oh, missed connections.
So, yeah, I'd say that posting in missed connections is probably about the same as playing the lottery. People still do that even though they probably will never win.
Do you like pina coladas?
And getting caught in the rain.
Well, I'm not into health food. We'll talk about that in a bit, but I got one more missed connection.
It's like a safe bet. Missed connections are like a safe bet.
It's a safe bet for awesome.
Maggie's farm. Man for woman in Manitou. You had have been the most beautiful woman I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. White dress, blonde, and just super bubbly. B-U-B-B-L-E-Y. With a first name I couldn't spell even if I wanted to. Cause I'm shit at spelling, smiley face. Russian, perhaps, or Czech. I sure hope you find this. If there was a wish I could have, that would be it. I should have asked you for your number, but wasn't sure. Respond with my first name because now am asking for your number? Do not contact me with unsolicited services or offers.
Did it say you would have been the most?
Yes. No, I read that verbatim. That's what I do. I read things verbatim. I Ron Burgundy'd that bitch.
Grammar. Learn to use it before posting publicly on a forum.
Oh, no. That's what makes Misconnection so awesome. Just
please don't learn anything.
The reason that these people have missed out on love is because they're the dumbest pieces of shit on the planet.
Aww.
Oh, it's so true, so though.
Sad.
Why would anybody ever love you? Maggie's farm, dope smoker, man for woman. Your brain is stupid and you got man boobs. We covered that in an earlier podcast.
We covered man boobs?
Yeah, how weed gives you man boobs.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
You were drunk.
I was. I'm better now.
Breaking news! Weed gives you man boobs. Old news. And now back to Colin.
Breaking old news. Awesome.
Oh, Dickie, that's old news.
Those were fun. I like that. What are you doing?
It keeps going.
That's the never-ending
news. I kept expecting more news.
Like, should we be quiet? Is there going to be more breaking news? Is something happening?
Breaking
Holy
news.
Shit.
Breaking news. The breaking news sound effect won't stop. And now back to you.
Won't stop.
Don't won't stop.
Believe it.
Hold on to that feeling. Street lights. People.
Oh, whoa.
All right, it's never yes. the wrong time for Out of Tune Journey.
No, it's not.
Never.
Never.
Streetlight people.
If you don't like people. The streetlight people, something is wrong with you.
It's absolutely true. So you said you had another song queued up. What is that?
I do. It's depressing. It's Yay. A death song.
Well,
it's
we've been nothing
song.
If not depressing in this show.
Sweets. This is They Might Be Giants, The End of the Tour.
Ooh.
There's a girl with a crown and a scepter who's on WLSD. And she says that the scene isn't what it's been, and she's thinking of going home. That it's old and it's totally over now, and it's old and it's over now, and it's over, it's over, it's over now. I can't see myself at the end of the tour. When the road disappears, if there's any more people around, when the tour runs aground, and if you're still around, then I'll meet at the end of the tour. The engagements are booked through the end of the world, so we'll meet at the end of the tour. Driving themselves to distraction inside me. Then came a knock on the door, which was odd, and the picture abruptly changed at the end of the tour. When the road disappears, if there's any more people around, when the tour runs aground, and if you're still around, then we'll meet.
people, you opened the door and expelled all the people. This was the vehicle, these were the people. You opened the door and expelled all the people. This was the vehicle, these were the people. You let them go. At the end of the tour, when the world disappears, if there's any more people around, when the tour runs aground, and if you're still around, then we'll meet at the end of the tour. The engagements are booked through the end of the world, so we'll meet at the end of the tour.
That was peppy and upbeat.
Yeah, it's up there with slightly peppy songs that have incredibly dour lyrics. Like, well, that's
another
like.
Band that's immensely talented. And, you know, I mean, I didn't get a feel for how talented they were until I saw them live.
They're pretty incredible. Like, they're legit musicians. I think a lot of people pass them off as a novelty band. And, like, novelty is a bad word in the music world. And it's not, because some musicians that are quote-unquote novelty are incredibly talented musicians, and They Might Be Giants are, you know, they've released album after album after album for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And that was from their album John Henry, and obviously if you picked up on the lyrics, it's about a bunch of teenagers dying in a car crash, which is pretty terrible.
Hey, speaking of depressing and supernatural stuff, we haven't heard about... than the fangirl stuff from my mom yet.
Oh, yeah.
This Ooh. Episode, but we should, because this is her take on Supernatural.
Supernatural, another thing Heather got me into, but I just now started watching that because we sold season one and season two at Big Lots. I love Supernatural. Dean is my favorite. He's absolutely perfect. Heather won't tell me anything ahead of time. She makes me wait and watch, which I just soon will know ahead of time anyway, because I won't remember nothing. But I'm really concerned that I'm only in starting on season two, and these guys have already had their heads beat in I don't know how many times, so I don't know how they're gonna survive. Because, you know, pretty soon they're gonna end up like Muhammad Ali. Dan.
So if you've ever wanted to know about Supernatural, the TV series, there you go. Now you know everything about it. You don't even have to watch it.
Right.
But you should.
Your mom is brilliant.
She doesn't realize it.
Her ability to sum things up in a simple manner, it's unparalleled, really.
She nails it every single time.
Yep.
She really does. She cuts straight through all of the bullshit and just cuts right to the important stuff.
That's true.
It's beautiful.
Wow. So, yeah, we've been talking about some supernatural bullshit. What happens when we die? We all don't know. We've been playing some very depressing songs that have death overtones. And, yeah, we didn't solve a damn thing, but we were able to ramble for about an hour on this show. I've been Derek Knight from Action Bear Improv. With me, as always, Colin Burton, fizzleandpop.blogspot.com. Insight into his weird brain.
Goodbye.
My sister Heather from, you can look at her stuff at maddedspam.blogspot.com.
That's right. Fuck Montrose.
And also Jessica Robot Narwhal Schleiger of Action Bear Improv. Thank you for joining us.
Woo!
And listener, no matter where you go, we will follow you into the dark.
Love of mine, someday you will die, but I'll be close behind. I'll follow you into the dark. No blinding light, or tunnels to gates of white, just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of a spark. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. In Catholic school, as vicious as Roman rule, I got my knuckles bruised by a lady in black. And I held my tongue as she told me, son, fear is the heart of love. So I never went back. And if heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. You and me have seen everything to see, from Bangkok to Calgary. And the soles of your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now, but it's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of rooms. And if heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, and illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. And I'll follow you into the dark.